This morning, we have the pleasure of listening to Stephanie, who's going to talk to us about ethics. She'll actually make it worth listening to. Stephanie does a lot of things. I've known Stephanie for a long time. She's a wonderful lawyer. She's a professor at St. Mary's. She is now the chair of the newly formed Manage Assigned Counsel Board in Bexar County. She is one of the best criminal lawyers in Bexar County and probably the state. And without further ado, Stephanie.
Hey, good morning, and thank you all for having me here today. I'm going to try to make sure that our talk this morning covers all of you in some way or another. I know that we are dealing with prosecutors, private practice defense attorneys, as well as people who work in public defender's offices or something akin to that. So I hope that what we have this morning will address everyone's issues here. Some sometimes may be focused on one group or the other, but I promise to come back to all of you if I can. All right, so gotta say, it's an exciting time to be thinking about ethics. I hear that the Supreme Court is looking for someone maybe to write a code, a binding code of ethics for them. Have no fear, I will stay in my lane. I will not go there. We are going to talk about Texas ethics rules only. We will specifically stick with that. We do, in Texas, have a specialized standard for appellate counsel. You can find those on your high court websites. Some of the mid-level courts as well have these standards for appellate conduct posted. They break them down into several different categories: lawyer's duty to the clients, the lawyer's duty to the courts, lawyer's duties to other lawyers, and the court's relationship with counsel. But what you should know is that these are aspirational, perhaps. They are not binding in the way that the Texas disciplinary rules are on all of us. In other words, if you violate one of these standards of appellate conduct, there's not much the state bar can do to you. However, these rules do overlap quite a bit, and so chances are if you're violating one of the appellate conduct rules, you're probably violating one of the Texas disciplinary rules of professional conduct as well. So we don't want to go there. Every year, the state bar releases the stats for discipline, and they release it at the end of May. So we will have at the end of this month, we'll have 2022 through 2023 stats. So these are last year's. There were 400 sanctions, 21 disbarments, 39 public remands, 94 private remands, 120 suspensions, 27 people resigned in lieu of discipline, and then 99 people were referred to the grievance program, like a pretrial diversion type program. It's really not terrible, I guess, when you think there are more than 108,000 people licensed in Texas. It's probably not great, but one of the things you should look at is what are the gender and race stats, and for those of you who are in that white male category, once again, you seem to be a target. Clearly, you can see 79% of these disciplinary actions are for men, 57% of those are white, Caucasian. I have no idea what the correlation is to the number of lawyers of that gender and of that race licensed in Texas, but something to think about in terms of behaving ourselves for all of us. All right, so let's start by talking about four proposed changes to the disciplinary rules that we all want to make sure we're aware of. Some of these probably don't really worry us at all. They're not really going to be a big change for most of us. The first one, though, the 3.09, has been this hotly contested proposed change for some time. And 3.09 talks about the special responsibilities of a prosecutor. The goal with this rule was to try and help all of us come to terms with the fact that there probably are people, probably quite a few people, who have been convicted wrongly. And what are the responsibilities after a conviction is over of a prosecutor? If they learn about some information, if something comes to light that may be exonerating, possibly add to a potential for exoneration for somebody who has already been convicted. No longer is that prosecutor in charge of the case, so where are they with that? And the rule went back and forth for quite some time. Its current iteration, I think, will probably pass. And I'm not going to talk to you about the beginning parts of this Rule 3.09 that have been in play for a long time, because those deal mostly with the trial-level duties of a prosecutor.